It's the Gadget Grill on 2RDJ FM, 88.1 on the FM band and on the internet. We are at www.radio2rdj.com. Hi there, I'm the Professor Stumpy Steamboat Gaz.
And I'm DD Cup.
And I'm Jason Murray. Indeed. I don't have a fancy nickname yet.
No, we've got to give you one. That
can actually just be my trope for the entire show.
Well, if we call DD, we could call you JJ.
No.
And we could call Jeff GG.
GG.
No. All those in favour of that?
No.
Okay.
We've taken a straw poll of the room, you put it up the flagpole and no one saluted.
There you go. Welcome to the Gadget Grill on whatever it is.
Sunday the 15th of November.
It is Sunday the 15th of November, unless you're listening on Tuesday the 17th of November, in which case it is Tuesday the 17th of November. And that means that we're travelling through time.
We are. Our voices are, anyway.
Yeah.
We are coming to you live Welcome. From Sunday night if you're listening on Tuesday.
There you go.
Also, stop doing that.
You are listening to the past.
Yeah.
If you're listening on Tuesday, you're listening to the past. But if you're listening right now on Sunday, you're actually listening to the future.
So what you're saying is the entire show has been will an event that still could have taken place sometime in the future.
Exactly.
Okay.
What have you been up to, Jason?
I have been playing Ingress a lot this week. We had a massive citywide event yesterday. My team lost, but it was still fun. And I spent most of yesterday on the bike, so I got up this morning and basically couldn't move.
I have no sympathy. This is all self-inflicted.
I also got rained on a heck of a lot yesterday. Anytime I got the bike and got on the bike to go somewhere, it basically rained on me. So thanks a lot, Sydney.
That's okay. Anytime.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you said Sydney, not Gary.
No.
Well, there you go.
it's just like a reaction. Anytime someone says thanks a lot, you just go, you're welcome.
Yeah. I need to apologize for our absence last Sunday.
Oh, that's all right.
We stepped off the plane at about, 8 o'clock on Sunday morning.
Yes.
And went through customs, immigration, went home, went out, was unpacked, did some laundry.
And then woke up at about 8:45. Went
and did some shopping, went home, had lunch, and woke up at 8:30. And looked at the clock and thought, hang on, we're not going to get to the studio in time for the show. And I'd already arranged to meet you guys for dinner at...
Yeah, about halfway through dinner, Jeff and I looked at each other and just, where are they?
Exactly.
I don't know.
Sleeping.
Mm. We were dead to the world. We have recovered and we are back. We are here.
So I think I'm more tired than you were last week. This week I've slept most of today. I slept well last night. I'm just sore and tired and exhausted.
Right. Well, one of the features of our travels is one of the things that I truly enjoy is the magazines that you get, the in-flight magazines on the plane, where you get the occasional useless gadget.
You say occasional, but I saw you flipping through the Skymore catalogue, madly circling every single thing on every page.
Pretty
which
much.
Which either means you're going on a shopping spree or the entire show is going to be about useless gadgets.
Pretty much. The latter. There is just so much stuff in there that is just
useless.
So wonderfully crazy.
And we have one other gadget on the table, on the bench in front of us, which is, you could probably call it useless, given that it is a toy, but it is very cool. I've been looking forward to it for a while.
It is very cool. Now, the funny thing about this, of course, is that while we're in America, I actually bought one of these, because I saw that these were coming out about a month ago, and I said, okay, I'm going to buy one of these, because I don't know when they're going to come out in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
So on Friday of last week in Los Angeles...
We should tell people what we're talking about.
No, we shouldn't. We'll keep them in suspenders.
That's not how the show works.
Yes, it is.
We don't supply suspenders.
Don't we? Okay. No. I'm wearing them.
Stacks of slacks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, we'll tell them about it shortly. Shortly.
Cause right, we're going to tell people about the story of procuring the item without telling people what the item
exactly.
is.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. I saw this in Los Angeles. I looked for it in Memphis. I looked for it in Nashville. Couldn't see it in either place. Got back to Los Angeles. Finally found it in the remainder bin at one of the electronic stores. And this is an item that's only been out for less than a month.
Yes. Yeah, it is quite new, yeah.
Yeah. So I bought it. $30 US. plus tax.
So that's about $12,000 Australian.
That's about it on the current exchange rate, yep. Got back to Australia, got an email from June on Tuesday afternoon. A package had arrived for me at the station. And I was puzzled because mostly I get the packages addressed to either home or to the orifice. And very rarely do I get anything coming to the station. So I come into the station to pick up this package, open it up, and there's another one of these in the box. So so we have two of these that we can play with, so I will make sure that you are acquainted with one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that you actually, over dinner, when I told you that I had one of these...
I flew off.
You just wet yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, there was an accident. We had to wipe up.
Yeah. Okay, we'll talk about... We'll tell
very graphic very fast.
I know. We'll tell our listener exactly what it is in about 15 minutes, 15, 20 minutes, when we get to that part of the show.
Excellent.
Okay. It is a pretty red and white. It is quite good quality in terms of its construction as well.
I think we should go to the song that you're about to throw to.
Well, we are. And this week, musically, was very sad for me. Mm. One of my musical heroes passed away on Monday. On Monday.
That is a shame.
On Sunday last week, he was performing in Spain. On Monday, had a heart attack. He's a New Orleans stalwart, a New Orleans legend. And I've got a few songs that he's been involved in to play as our first three pieces of music today. The first of these is a track from an album that Alan Toussaint recorded with Elvis Costello after Katrina hit New Orleans. And it's from an album called The River in Reverse, and the track is the title track from that, The River in Reverse. Alan Toussaint, You Are Already Missed.
Welcome back to the Gadget Grill here on Radio 2 RDJ FM, 88.1 on the FM band and on the internet at www.radio2rdj.com.
Indeed, welcome back, and it is time for...
The news.
The GNUs.
News.
We got GNUs as well?
We have GNUs.
Oh, okay.
Great.
I didn't bring GNUs, I brought normal news.
Did you?
Yeah.
Well, you want to start off with one of your stories then, Jason?
Sure. How about we talk about some Android Wear?
Android Wear. Okay.
Super expensive new Android Wear watch, and I'm terrible because I can never pronounce this company's name properly. Tag Heuer?
Tag Heuer. Oh, yes.
There we go.
Yes.
Tag Heuer has launched a super expensive smartwatch named Connected in a fairly non-standard as far as technology events go. Press conference in Switzerland. It was mainly led by their CEO.
Was it Switzerland or New York?
Switzerland.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know they're a Swiss company. I thought it was New York.
I'll get to how I know it was Switzerland later on. But so it was basically their CEO came out. He was wearing a lab coat, or it looked like a lab coat. He walked around on stage and grinned a lot. It seems like he was sort of playing to a home crowd with, I don't even know if it's a thing, but watch media. Like there was a room of assembled journalists and he was like laughing and like sharing jokes with them. And it was kind of really weird. It was a little bit off script. But the product itself, the Connected Smartwatch, it is the first Android Wear device to use an Intel Atom processor. They've all used pretty low power Snapdragons up until now. But besides that, it's just like any other Android Wear watch, except for the fact that, oh my God, it's sexy.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it would be.
What is it? $1,600
US. $1,500 US. Yeah. So about 12,000 Australian.
Yeah.
No, that was that. So this is going
they're,
to be.
They're all about 12,000 Australian.
Okay.
So it's clad in polished titanium with raised brushed numbers.
Looks
lacquered
nice.
Lettering. It looks fantastic. There's a number of different color choices for the vulcanized rubber band. That sounds terrible, rubber band. the watch band.
Watch band is rubber, vulcanized so rubber, ladies
the,
and gentlemen.
The interesting thing about it is that you can pay $1,500 for the watch and you can use it for 2 years and then you can go back to the store and give them another $1,500 and walk out with a Carrera smartwatch. Not a smartwatch, just a Carrera watch. So the thought is that the watch will be used for about 2 years, then it'll probably stop receiving software updates. At which point you can trade it in for an analog watch, but you have to pay the extra for the watch. So yeah, like if you've enjoyed using a smartwatch, too bad. Here's an analog watch, and you have to pay $1,500 for it.
Or you could replace it with a new digital watch.
Well, so maybe there'll be another version of the connected by then that you can upgrade to.
Yes.
So the weirdest moment of the launch, and this is how I know it was in Switzerland. I don't know if this was ceremonial or not. So on the live stream, it was a really weird moment. They had a wheel of Swiss cheese that they were going to cut ceremonially on stage. I don't know if this is a thing that happens at technology launches in Switzerland because I've never been there. But they had trouble cutting it. So I thought they were going to go out and get a hacksaw.
A wire?
A knife.
A knife. You're supposed to use a wire to cut cheese.
They had a knife.
That's probably what
that's probably that was probably the problem. Yeah. But eventually they ended up perforating it, standing it up on its end, and then just like karate chopping it to break it in two.
Oh,
it's
my
like,
goodness.
It was like wood.
That's like us when we travel and we don't actually have a knife and we have a block of cheese.
Yeah, well, we just break it off, yeah.
Yeah.
I hate travelling with blocks of cheese and not taking knives.
I'm not sure about this one. This one strikes me as potentially being a bit of a joke, except I suspect it's not.
Wait, I've got the SkyMall catalogues here, so continue.
Okay. Privacy advocates.
Piracy advocates?
Yeah. Privacy advocates are warning federal authorities of a new threat. Wait for it. That uses inaudible high-frequency sounds to surreptitiously track a person's online behaviour across a range of devices, including phones, TVs, tablets and computers.
Wow.
The ultrasonic pictures are embedded into TV commercials or applied when a user encounters an ad displayed in a computer browser. While the sound can't be heard by the human ear, nearby tablets and smartphones can detect it. When they do, browser cookies can now pair a single user to multiple devices and keep track of what TV commercials the person sees, how long the person watches the ads, and whether the person acts on the ads by doing a web search or buying a product.
That's interesting.
Creepy. Isn't it? It is creepy,
I think it's a little bit paranoid, but the whole ultrasonic communication thing, this is something that is happening. Chromecasts
do it. Comes from Ars Technica, so, you know, they're a reputable site. So.
Well, that's fine. They're the ones reporting it. But
what
I've I heard of about sort of 2 or 3 years ago, I think, of a situation where a company had found malware on a computer that was not connected to the internet.
No.
And when they had investigated how the malware had gotten on there, they found that it had actually traveled through the sound card. And there was another computer in the room that had actually been playing ultrasonic sounds.
Ooh.
And basically, it was like a modem connection between the two computers. So they'd been talking to each other over that frequency. And so it had used that to transmit its malware onto the computer that had no internet connection.
Interesting.
Now that's kind of a bit paranoid as well. I think you could probably say that there's not likely to be something terribly nefarious in terms of like trying to tell how long someone's listened to an ad for or watched an ad, but I reckon there's probably someone working on this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm, creepy.
The whole placing cookies in response to ultrasonic sounds seems a little bit much to me.
It does. That's why I said, you know, it sounds like it's a bit of a possible joke. Mm, but the source of it is fairly reputable. So something to look for.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Now, we are being told, We again? Are being told, yeah.
I got told at dinner.
No, yeah, I know you did. I told you.
Yeah.
Know who's not cool with you poking at your phone at the dinner table?
This is oddly related to dinner now.
It is indeed. It is. Who is not cool about you playing with your phone? And we all play with our phones at the dinner table.
Who isn't cool about
it? The staff at the restaurant.
Who does probably, apart from the staff.
Probably your parents, if you're a young person.
I don't know. My parents play with their own phones at dinner.
Well, so do my son's parents.
Yes.
How about Pope Francis?
He's not happy with you playing with your phone.
No, he's not.
Oh, okay.
Is that all he's not happy with us for?
I mean, a family that almost never eats together or that never speaks at the table but looks at the television or the smartphone is hardly a family, he said during a sermon at St. Peter's Square.
Well, he's probably right in a way.
Oh, he's not wrong.
We're losing that communication.
Now. Well, when was the last time we sat at the dinner table to actually have dinner? It was a month ago.
Well,
when
I've tried, but the dinner table's never available.
Oh, shut up.
It's always got some piece of technology, like a Viewmaster.
Yeah, it's got all sort of stuff on it, believe me.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not plates and knives.
Yeah, we've got to clean it up for our Thanksgiving dinner in 2 weeks, of course. So...
I just think it's kind of funny that a man who's never been married is telling us about family.
Well, there is that as well. Dee, you've got an interesting story on that.
Do I?
You do.
I have.
You have.
Really?
Yes.
Where is it?
Google car.
Oh yeah, but Jason was going. Well,
no, I've got that one as well. If you like.
I'll let Jason talk about it, and I'll just say my thoughts on it.
Okay.
Okay. All right. That's fine. So like we do like to talk about self-driving cars. Probably because they're the ultimate gadget, really, aren't they?
They're getting close to it.
We all want a self-driving car, and if someone offered us one, we would take it in a heartbeat. I don't drive, so like a self-driving car is the only way I'll get around in the car
ideal
by myself.
For you. Yeah. Absolutely.
So news came out this week that a police officer in Mountain View, California, guess which company this is about, pulled over a self-driving car from...
Google.
Yeah, you already gave it away too. Because it was moving too slowly and traffic was banking up behind it. Now, Google's self-driving cars have a top speed of about 40 kilometres an hour, which is kind of the same speed that you should be driving around many suburban streets at in Sydney.
Yep.
The car was pulled over to inquire and educate the operator about impeding traffic flow.
Right.
No ticket was issued.
Right.
No, well, there was no one to issue the blooming ticket to.
Well, the operator, but yeah.
Yeah, but they weren't driving it.
No, so this is true. So it, and
no driver.
It also begs the question, I was wondering, like, if you fast forward a couple of years to like when we all have like you know fully autonomous self-driving cars, how do you pull one over?
Well that's going to be interesting.
Yeah, there's nobody driving the car. How does the car know that...
It needs to be pulled over.
Well, yeah. hang on.
Where does it stop?
Let's go back a step. Because if it's a self-driving car, then the programming should be such that it can't break the law. And therefore, there should be no need for the car to be pulled over. It's not going to speed.
That's true.
It can't go through stop signs.
But it wasn't going fast enough. That was the problem. It was holding up traffic.
Well, in Mountain View, the traffic does not move that quickly. If you recall when we were there earlier this year, it did not move very quickly.
I think it did more than 25 miles an hour.
No, it didn't, actually. No.
Oh, well.
So, yeah.
Except on 101.
I do think there's reasons to pull up a car besides, breaking the law. So you might have...
Yeah, they might do an RBT or something.
Yeah, you might
They don't do RBT in California.
But they might in Australia. And then how's the car going to know it's got to stop?
Well, hang on a second.
That, you might have a suspicious-looking passenger. They might hang on. You may have thrown something out the window of the car.
I like the idea of... doing random breath testing
on the car.
On the car, because the car's doing the driving.
You have to see whether the car has actually participated in the enjoyment of alcohol.
Well, that's right.
What if the car is powered by alcohol?
Yeah, well, ethanol.
Ethanol.
Yeah. Have you been drinking? Yes.
It may be over the limit.
Yeah.
Interesting.
New South Wales.
What's the limit for a self-driving car powered by ethanol fuel? Like, it's going to be 100%.
It is indeed.
Yeah.
Well, hang on. No. We only have ethanol going up to 15%.
Oh, okay. Well, it's going to be 15%.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fair enough.
New South Wales Police monitoring private Facebook posts. Have you heard about this?
No.
They were found to be monitoring somebody's Facebook account.
By monitoring, do you just mean loading and looking at their posts?
No. Unlawful monitoring of a private Facebook page. The New South Wales Police Force illegally hacked the private Facebook account of a Sydney man in a move branded a reprehensible and criminal offence by a magistrate.
Did they find out how to do it from Rupert Murdoch?
Probably. No, he doesn't know how to hack.
No.
4 months of illegal police surveillance on a closed Facebook page. They arrested and charged a gentleman with 3 counts of using a carriage service to offend police and a further 3 counts of publishing an indecent article.
So was he posting like anti-police stuff on his page? Or?
He was posting hacked photos. Well, he was allegedly posting hacked photos of police spanking Miley Cyrus.
Okay, that's kind of weird, especially given that you've just turned a tablet around and showed me the photo.
Yeah.
Okay, that's kind of weird.
It is. It is. The magistrate...
Miley, what have you become?
Yeah, the magistrate has slammed the police, awarded costs to the... to the person who was originally charged, and the charges have been withdrawn and dismissed.
But won't someone think of Miley Cyrus in all of this?
I'd rather not. That'd be, you know, that'd be almost as bad as, for instance, hypothetically, if somebody played, I don't know, maybe Justin Bieber on this show.
Yeah,
but that would never happen, would it?
That would be terrible.
I know.
Terrible. So have you noticed that almost everyone seems to have a Netflix, Stan or Presto subscription now?
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, we seem to be very well placed for a similar usurping of content distribution to what's just happened in the USA.
Well, when we were across in America in April, May, earlier this year.
Oh, I remember you telling me about this.
Yeah. We were listening to NPR, to a very interesting item on NPR, about how people are abandoning
cable
TV subscribers, totally. And the same is happening here now.
So let me tell you what my story is.
Please.
So for the third quarter of 2015, subscription video sales, or digital video sales, not necessarily subscriptions, have surpassed physical media sales. So there are more people purchasing content online than there are going out and buying DVDs and Blu-rays.
Yeah.
So DVD and Blu-ray for the third quarter in the US, this is in the US, but like, you know, we're going to go there eventually. Digital sales are now 53% of the US market.
Wow.
DVD and Blu-ray is now $1.1 billion in the last quarter. And electronic sell-through, so that's things like iTunes, Google Play, etc., they came in at just under $500 million, $434 million. And the subscription video on demand market, $1.2 billion.
Woo.
Now, that's this quarter. So there's that's basically places the yearly market for everything at about $9 billion.
Right. Now, we spoke about this briefly at dinner, and I couldn't remember what the actual circumstances was. So I've refreshed my memory by pulling it up here on my tablet.
Mm-hmm.
And a new Tesla rival is building a $1 billion factory in California.
Really? I wouldn't think California would be where you'd go for that.
Well, a new major player has just entered the electric car market, ready to build a $1 billion super factory in California. The company is called...
No one builds a factory anymore. They have to build a mega factory or a super factory.
Oh, in California, you got it.
Yeah.
Called Faraday Future. Many have suggested the company is a front... for Apple's Project Titan car project. And that's not helped by the company's wish to keep its ownership information a secret.
Mm.
It is interesting that it's a competitor to Tesla called Faraday.
Well, Faraday, you know, the Faraday cages, yes. Of course. So, yeah, so that makes a lot of sense.
Well, it doesn't really make that much sense for an electric car, but fair enough.
You know. Well, keep it in a Faraday cage so it won't go anywhere.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, fair enough.
Okay, that's all I've got for today. You got anything more?
Yeah.
Okay.
Opera. Remember Opera, the company that makes the web browser and no one really
Not to be confused with the house down at Circular Quay.
No.
Okay.
No, not they don't have anything to do with this.
Right.
They might like to. Opera has a product called Max, which is a data saver and bandwidth management app that they've announced is now going to come pre-installed on at least 14 phones. And this is, so Mac
grand total of 14. There's millions of phones produced every year, and they're going to put it on 14 of them.
Very good, very good. So Macs is something that Opera acquired when they purchased Skyfire Labs in 2014. And
right.
Basically, it reroutes your data requests and sends it through their own network, and it recompresses the data that you get. So if you're browsing a web page, you might get smaller images. If you're using YouTube, then they'll recompress the video. And they say that they can save up to about 60% of your bandwidth costs.
Is this
going to
be lossless compression?
No, they say that their recompression it leads to no discernible loss in quality.
I'll believe that when I see it.
But it's not really aimed at us. No. Samsung's launched it on a series of phones in India, where obviously you want to save a little bit of bandwidth if you can there. But and this I do think that like data conservation is an interesting area because I sort of increasingly don't care if I'm going to load something that's a megabyte, then I'll load it. If I'm going to load something, like if I'm going to load something that's the better part of a gigabyte, you know, I might think twice about it.
Yeah.
But I wanted to ask you, do you conserve your data?
I do. I don't go anywhere near my data limits.
Mm. What is your data limit?
I've got an 8 gig data limit on my phone.
Yeah,
I've
got about
plan.
The same. Yeah.
Unlimited on my home network.
Mm-hmm.
So no problems there. But yeah. 20 years ago, when I was doing software development, one of the biggest issues that we had in considering the application was how, you know, we had to do calculations to work out data storage.
Hmm.
Today, data storage is so cheap. It's no longer an issue and we don't even think about it.
It's pretty amazing.
And data bandwidth in terms of phones and the internet, that is starting to become ubiquitous in a similar way.
Hmm. So it really is.
Yeah.
I mean, it comes back to the argument that people have been making for sort of the better part of the last decade, that internet access becomes a basic human right.
It is coming down to that, yeah.
Yeah. Companies move their services online.
Yeah.
And companies, governments move services online. And so
and there's an expectation them, that you can access everything, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Back to Alan Toussaint. In 1965, he wrote a song. The Rolling Stones, one of their very first hits was this. An Australian band called The Throb did a cover of The Stones, and I thought it was better than The Stones.
I agree.
This is The Throb and Fortune Teller, written by Alan Toussaint.
Went to the fortune teller, had my fortune read. Didn't know what to tell her, I had a dizzy feeling in my head. Then she took a look at my palm, she said, "Sonny, you feel kind of warm." She looked into a crystal ball, said, "You're in love." I said, "I couldn't not be so, I'm not passion with the girls I know." She said, "When the next one arrives, you'll be looking into her eyes."
You're back with The Gadget Grill on 2RDJ, 88.1 FM, and on the internet at www.radio2rdj.com.
Indeed. Now, I mentioned earlier that while we were travelling around in America, I looked in Memphis. I couldn't find one of these, and I knew that these had been released about a month ago. I looked in Nashville. I couldn't find one of these. Finally, in Los Angeles, on the final day of our trip, I saw one of these in a Best Buy store. So I bought one. Got back to Sydney. Tuesday, package arrived for me here at the station. Went and had a look, and I had another one. So I now have two ViewMaster VRs to play with.
So I remember the ViewMaster from when I was a kid, and it was one of those things where it used the fact that your eyes see in 3D.
Yes.
To display little wheels. I don't know why I'm miming this. It's radio.
And that's very good that
I remember the toy. I think a lot of people will probably remember the toy from when they were young.
With a lot of fondness.
Mm.
Last time I went to Memphis, as it happens, I actually brought back one of the original ViewMaster viewers.
Nice.
In powder blue that I picked up at Graceland at the Elvis Museum.
I think I remember you telling me about this, actually. Yeah.
And I actually presented it. Lee was on the air with me, and I presented it to Lee on the air. He didn't know that I had this, and he was absolutely thrilled. So this time we went to Memphis, and I have, having come back from Memphis, two of the new ViewMaster VR. Now, what they've done, this is really interesting. They've brought the ViewMaster 3D technology into the 21st century. This is basically a very high-quality version of Google Cardboard.
It's a very expensive version of Google Cardboard as well.
Well, Google Cardboard costs, what, $20?
No, if you purchase it from places online, yeah, like including shipping and stuff.
Yeah.
I went to a conference and got given one for free last week.
Okay. But it's cardboard and it doesn't hold together all that well.
Well, I hear rain outside the studio at the moment. You wouldn't want to use it in the rain.
Well, no, you wouldn't. This is plastic. It's made by Mattel. The quality is, I would say, close to the quality of the Samsung Gear VR in terms of the build quality of this.
I think there's probably a fairly significant difference between them. I mean, one is a toy and the other is a piece of electronics.
Sure.
Still, yeah. I mean, they both
work in a similar way. You put your phone inside.
It's an attractive device.
It's an attractive device. And these are coming on the market for $50 Australian. They'll be available in Sydney in Australia in about a week. About $50 retail. And that's with a demo kit, which comes with a reel that looks like the original.
The reels are still a thing.
The reels are still
but you don't stick them in.
It's just sort of a tokenism.
Nostalgia.
Yeah, that's what it is. But yeah, so you can purchase reels that have different stories and objects and things on
that's
them
right.
you can look at. Yeah.
And they're $20 each, less than $20 each.
And of course you can use any Google Cardboard app
pretty
with
much
it as well.
Any Google Cardboard app, and you just need a phone, an Android phone or an iPhone. Plug it in and away you go.
I've opened up the unit in front of me, and so it probably has the best button tap mechanism of any of the cardboard things that I've ever seen.
Yeah, the cardboard, it's very flimsy on the cardboard.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
And on this, it is very solid. My phone's worked without any problem. I had trouble getting my phones to work in cardboard.
Mm-hmm.
In this,
it's even got a little wrist strap, so that if you do have that sense of vertigo that I had when I was using the roller coaster app earlier, and you happen to drop it, you're not going to damage it.
That's right.
It is a big piece of plastic though, so you're probably not going to damage the ViewMaster. But if you drop it with your phone in it, it's probably not a good idea.
That's not a recommended thing. So we're going to give that a run through over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, wow.
And with the Christmas season coming up, of course,
it's in hot contention.
It is in hot contention as between that and maybe some of the drones that are available. But we'll talk more about that over the next few weeks as we get closer to the holiday season.
Yeah.
But I'm impressed with the quality of the construction, the way the apps run. Everything there seems to be good. We'll have a play with the actual apps in the next couple of weeks and talk about it again probably before the end of the month or early December.
Sounds great.
Okay. Alan Toussaint, prolific writer, prolific performer in New Orleans, and a producer. Now, this is a song that I know you're going to know, Jason.
Are you sure about this?
Everybody knows this one. This is one piece of music that he produced back in the 80s.
Yeah.
Patti LaBelle, Lady Marmalade.
Oh, okay.
Turn your radio up.
Everyone knows this.
Loud.
Get you.
Welcome back to the Gadget Grill on 2 RDJ FM 88.1 on the FM band and on the internet at www.radio2rdj.com.
Jason give you the finger then?
Jason gave me the finger. He's pretending to be the producer.
Right.
Yeah.
Whenever you want to sit in this seat, Jason, I really, since in all seriousness, I do need you to sit in.
Yeah, that day's coming.
Okay, yeah, that's good.
That day's coming.
That's good. Jason's scared he might push the wrong button.
I know. Like, I'm scared that, you know, like I'll push the wrong button and a different show will start playing.
Well, you never know your luck in a big city.
Yeah.
Speaking of a suburb. Speaking of pushing buttons,
One
of the things that I love about travel is the in-flight magazines and all of the wonderful products that they have to...
I have adopted a comfortable position in the studio because I reckon this is going to be a laugh.
That's the intention, yes. And on the way back from Los Angeles... we came across, for instance, in the In-Flight magazine, a keyboard waffle iron.
That's great.
This is a waffle iron that produces waffles in the shape of a computer.
I don't see the problem with this.
I'm not saying there's a problem. I'm just saying that it's potentially totally useless.
So it produces food. Like, it produces edible food. So it's not utterly useless.
Well, that depends
useless.
On the waffle mix.
Yeah, it's not utterly useless, but yeah. You can probably find a better item to make your waffles.
Well, yes, you could. I've handed out these in-flight to everybody.
We've got our homework.
I've got one here. Yeah. It's fantastic. LED long drink cups.
LED long drink cups. Explain,
wonderful.
Please.
So each guest gets a drink cup and there's a little LED light in them and they're different colours. So you don't have to go and wash
I pay for this at bars. I already get cocktails that have, like, those fake ice cube things with the different coloured lights in them.
These ones, yeah, they light up.
The entire glass.
The whole glass lights up.
That's nice.
Are you jealous, Jason?
I am a little. I've got one here. I've got the Dart Duo automatic rotating laser light because we know that nothing keeps cats amused more than one of those little red laser pointers. And this is one that's going to sit in the middle of the room and just constantly rotate the red dot around.
Okay, now let me get this right. Mm-hmm. Part of the attraction of having a laser pointer and teasing your cat with it is that you are interacting with your cat.
Right. Yeah. Sure.
Okay.
For the sake of argument, let's go with that.
So this is a machine that takes away your interaction with the cat.
But what it does is it amuses my cat so that he doesn't destroy the furniture, and I have had to put in no effort to save my furniture.
Okay.
So it is $40 US, $40 well spent. I think.
Mine was $80, by the way.
Right.
Yeah.
What I have here, and I know Dee loves this one, is a heated steering wheel cover.
It's wonderful.
So you put this cover on your steering wheel on your car, and this one, I've got to read this to you.
Rub your hands with it.
Yeah, it's $60 US, and what it says here is, file this one under, why didn't I think of that?
I've got a very good reason why you didn't think of it.
Okay, Jason, go for it.
No one needs it.
Well, not in this country. We
no,
don't
we
anyone.
Don't. No.
So now I've got custom bobbleheads.
Oh, I love this one, yes.
Boxing champs and World Series MVPs aren't the only ones worthy of the status symbol anymore.
They probably
Make
are.
Bobbleheads for each member of your family.
No.
Or give hilarious gifts the most valuable player in your life.
There you go.
How about that? Only $99.95 or $200 for two.
Right.
Wait, so then it's more for two?
Well, $199.95
for two. So technically
cheaper.
No, it's $99.90. Is it $99 or $95?
$99.95 for one.
Yeah. So you get
$199.95.
So you pay 5 cents extra if you get two of them.
So you'd buy each one individually. How much for the postage, for the shipping?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah. Right.
It doesn't say.
I have literally the worst thing
Oh, good.
Here.
The worst. There's no such thing as the worst.
You're right. It's the best.
Go on then.
So this one is an end table kennel. Now,
I love this one. Yes, this is my favorite. I've got it here as well.
So this is one that. So it's a table to sit at the end of your couch, but it's also something that your dog can sit in. Now, the best thing about this is that it's actually a cage with a door that you can open and close. So you could lock your dog into the end table kennel if you wanted to, if you want the RSPCA to come calling on your house. But also, the best bit is, if you've got this in front of you in your Sky Mall as well, Gary.
Yes.
Look very closely at it. I'm pretty sure that dog is photoshopped. There's a dog sitting in the kennel. I'm sorry, I'm getting a little bit
lying
excited.
In it, yes.
There's a dog sitting in the kennel looking very patiently at the person taking the photo. And
hurry
I'm
up.
Fairly certain that dog is not in there.
No, yeah, I think you're right. I think you're right. But have a look at the SKU on this one. For the large, particularly, have a look at the SKU.
PP crate.
Yes, there you go.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's so basically it's also
a puppy crate.
Yeah, it also serves as a crate if you don't want to buy.
Yeah, that's $230.
Oh, it looks like it's decent wood. It says it's made of real furniture grade wood, which is true because it's furniture. So, by definition, it's furniture grade wood.
You got another one, Gary? I have.
Go for it, Dave.
Dancing robot Bluetooth speaker.
I saw
you
this.
Take that back. That's not a useless gadget.
No. And now appearing right in your living room or your backyard. Please welcome your very own Bluetooth speaker robot. Keep the music and the party going all night long with this multicolored light up sound system and delight the guests with his sweet dance moves.
Jason,
I think
you've got to take this one out with you, mate.
It's only $80, Jason.
$80. $80 for a dance partner.
Oh, look at him. He's so cute.
It doesn't even look like a robot.
I think it might be that one there.
Right. Oh, the other one. No, yeah. No, that's... It looks like a robotic troll. It's got the wild hair like one of those trolls. Yeah, that's pretty disappointing. I think just in the closing minutes of the show, I think we should just acknowledge the fact that Gary has dutifully brought SkyMall catalogs back from his trips abroad and dismembered them.
Yes. Indeed, we have.
Yeah, thus making it the most useful of the useless gadgets.
Absolutely. John Lennon, Imagine. After the Paris massacres, what can one say?
Not much.
Imagine there's no heaven. See if you try.
And we're coming to the end of today's Gadget Grill on 2RDJFM 88.1 on the FM band on the internet at www.radio2rdj.com. To finish off the show, one more useless gadget, and I know this is something that Jason wants. This is a clip-on...
I like all the useless gadgets.
Yeah, this is a clip-on man bun.
No,
mum, yes. That you can clip on.
No, this one, but I think it will be popular with baristas everywhere.
Yes. How to wear it. Comb your hair back towards the crown of your head in a similar motion to lacquering a reclaimed wood coffee table.
Because everyone knows how to do this.
I know. Yes. Attach the man bun to your natural hair the way the lay public attached itself to Arcade Fire. Use bobby pins to secure the... You like this, do you? Use bobby pins to secure the man bun. Decide bobby pins are too mainstream. Use antique paper clips instead.
I think we should just point out that this has not come from the Sky Mall catalogue.
No.
But instead, it's come from a snarky website.
Indeed, it has. You've been listening to The Gadget Grill on 2RDJFM 88.1 on the FM band, on the internet, www.radio2rdj.com. I'm the Professor, Stumpy Steamboat Gaz.
I'm Jason Murray.
And I'm Dee Dee Cup.
Take care, Australia.
Have a safe week.
And also, stop doing that.
Oh, Cal Joda, Poinciana.